This Week in Free Energy.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net to see the upcoming and past guests that we've had on our show. Our guest today is Lucien Gambarotta from Italy, and he's in Hong Kong right now at 6 o'clock in the morning. We're calling him from, it's about 4 o'clock here, Mountain Time in the United States, 4 p.m. So we appreciate him being willing to get up a little early and join us for this show. What he has invented, actually several things, and what we want to focus on today is called motor wind technology. It's basically an injection-molded plastic wind turbine that you can join modularly, so you can put as many of these together on a rail as you need. On the top of your home or on the top of an apartment complex, get it up as high as you want or as low as you want, basically put it where you want, connect it to a generator, and voila, for about $200 you can have a wind generation system for at least for the plastic components. The generator is going to run you some money and any battery or inverter system you want to have. He also has a wave technology for harnessing wave motion up and down. And he's also invented a way of harnessing exercise equipment. So these people in the gymnasiums or in the gyms working out might as well harness some of that energy rather than just having it go off as heat. So we are glad to have you with us. Thanks for joining us, Lucien.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for having me. And I don't mind to wake up so early in the morning, but I'm not very sharp in the morning, so please, I apologize if my answer won't be exactly what it should be.
So if you say anything stupid, we'll chalk it up to the hour of the morning.
Hey,
you were featured on CNN recently. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's where I first saw your technology featured. I'm curious, what kind of data have you collected on the wind energy system harnessing using these injection molded turbines?
All right, well, what happened exactly is about 2 years ago, I started to imagine the system. And then I have my own private lab. So I started to work on it, and at one point I needed a big wind tunnel. So I went to the university and asked them if I could use it, and so I've been able to continue my research, and all this research has been verified in some way or controlled by the university. The data we have collected are very, very, very promising. Today, the basic reason why I developed that is because conventional wind turbine, wind generator are designed to work between a certain range. They need wind speed of between 10 meters per second to 25 meters per second. That's the operating range. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what's happening on planet Earth, we don't have such kind of wind speed everywhere. The average we have on planet Earth is only 5 meters per second. So obviously this machine, they are not designed to work everywhere. And most probably that's why you don't see so many of them. And that's more probably why also when they are installed, in wind farms, they only work 30-35% of the time maximum. And when you have a 35% of the time working big, giant wind generator, they consider this as a very, very good performance. So obviously it was a problem. And I start to research on that. And that's why I came up with the design of MotorWind.
Mm-hmm. Now, just for those who may not be familiar with your system, it resembles a bicycle tire in terms of diameter, except it's made out of plastic, maybe a little smaller. Like, what is it, about 18 inches in diameter or what?
The one you have seen is a 25 cm, about 10 inches.
Okay. So it's 10 inches in diameter, and it looks somewhat like a pinwheel, just little plastic tines going around that wheel, and then around the perimeter are teeth so that you can put one next to another, and they'll work like gears together, and you can just hook as many of these on a rail together as you need or as you want to set up, and they can all work in combination. One of the downsides that one of the people who was reading about this brought up is the gearing resistance or friction that you're going to get. Have you quantized how much loss you're getting through the gearing between the different rotors?
Yes, obviously. okay. Well, if you take a very good gearbox, very good manufactured gearbox, the friction usually are about 3 to 5%. So we consider, let's say, 5% losses. Mm-hmm. But in a gearbox, each gear has only the function of transmitting the original movement at the end of the system. With MotorWind, it's totally different. Each gear is a turbine. That means each gear has its own energy. Mm-hmm. So we do not have at all the friction problem that some of the people might think of. It's totally different. They have to change the way they think concerning this system.
They're all turning essentially at the same speed with the same input, the wind going by them, and so it's not like one is making all the others turn.
Yes, they are pushing each other. So they're supporting each other. I always like to compare the system as like a brotherhood. When you put 20 turbines together, let's say if 18 of them have more energy than the two other, then they would just support it. And it creates a kind of family. From just one or two units, you just add them up like a Lego. And it creates a new unit of 20 or 50 or whatever number of turbine you want. And then the whole new entity become really like a family, and works together. And the strength of this family is the sum of all the energy collected by each turbine.
Right. And that makes sense. In terms of a friction point of view, I know that wind is not uniform. You have eddy currents. You have, 1 foot away might be blowing X meters per second. Another, 3 feet in the other direction might be blowing less or more in a different direction. And so it's not an exact uniformity of wind hitting all of those turbines at the same time. So there is going to be some difference in how they're turning. Have you come up with some numbers? You mentioned earlier that a very good gearbox has losses of between 3 and 5%. What kind of losses are you getting in, let's say, a family of 20 turbines on a rail, that, as you described it, like a brotherhood?
Yeah, okay. Sorry. We have limited the number of turbines attached to a generator to 20. This is the optimum number quantity. We have been testing for quite a long time now, over 5 months. And so we come up with this number because, wind comes as a gust. It's not something stable. Huh? And there is true some variation. But they are not at the scale of a foot. They are more on the scale of 3, 4, 5 meters. So when we put 20 turbines together, then we do not have significant change between the first one and the last one. So this is the optimal number following our testing.
Mm-hmm. And at the end, the last rotor that's hooked to the generator, now you're introducing to the entire set at that point some resistance, which is then going to be felt across all of those gear connections between each of those rotors spinning in the wind. How much does that contribute to gear losses or frictional losses, or where you attach the generator to one of them, not to all of them?
Well, I will say it's insignificant. We've never been really able to measure it in terms of losses, because how to put it? Okay. If we try to compare efficiency being the input, the energy input, the wind input, and what we collect as electricity, there's several laws in physics that rule the efficiency. Huh? So the maximum you're supposed to get out of a wind generator is about 44.25%. This is the maximum you're supposed to get theoretically. Mm-hmm. When we test our turbines, the maximum efficiency we get is 44%.
Wow.
We are nearly the perfect efficiency.
Huh.
So you see, at that point, first, it's very difficult to fully measure the friction, but most probably there is none. What I mean by none, I don't mean zero, but it's so insignificant that we even don't bother to check.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good. Let's talk about your 20 turbine system, where you've got 20 of these injection molded plastic wheel looking rotors spinning in harmony as the wind pushes against them, and you connect a generator to that. How much energy are you going to be harvesting in a near-ground situation? The wind's much lower near the ground than it is, let's say, up 50 feet or 100 feet.
Well, whether the wind, I mean, is on the ground or whatever it is, the only thing we're interested on is the speed, the wind speed. It is true that on the lower ground, the wind speed is lower. That's why we target our product to collect winds between 2 and 7, 8, 9 meters per second only. We could get much more than that, but this is not what we are targeting. We are targeting very low wind speed. For the very high wind speed, we leave this to the big giant wind turbine. We are not in the same... what we are targeting is urban use. And in urban use, obviously, you cannot put towers 100 meter or 200 meter high. We are just happy with what we got on top of a rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
We can generate significant amount of power, and that's enough for us. We don't mean to be a perfect system. And this is not, we are not targeting perfection. What we want is something that works, that is very low cost, and that is basically maintenance-free. This is what we are looking for.
Talking about maintenance and high wind speed, even though the average wind speed in a given area might be, let's say, 2 to 7 meters per second, they do have, you know, occasional storms that will come in, a typhoon, a hurricane, tornado in some areas, where you get super high wind speeds. Do you just plan on losing your system, or are there ways to take it down if you know something's coming?
We have tested, I mean, everything we design, because in Hong Kong here we have occasionally some typhoon. So anything we design has to withstand typhoon wind conditions. So all the system is designed to resist 50 meter per second wind speed. We had 2 weeks ago a storm here in Hong Kong. We got 100 kilometer top wind speed. And amazingly, because we were not prepared for that, it was just like a sudden storm. So the demonstration unit we have on top of the university was not secure. We didn't attach it to a wall. It was just put on some weight in order to see what happened. And everything got blown away by the wind. Every material we have around it, like the table, everything, except the turbines. They, it seems we didn't see it with on ice during the storm, but it didn't move one inch, and has been producing a lot of power during that time. The battery, they were not really fully charged at that time. The few hours after the storm, when we verified the battery, they were fully booked. we're so happy. I mean, because the university, they called me immediately. They say, hey, you know what's happening? And I rushed to the university, and first thing I checked the batteries, what's happening. And when I saw that, I was really so happy, because it was the first physically verified that he can withstand that kind of energy.
In your literature, when you talk about the 20 turbines costing $200, that's just for the turbines and the frame. That does not include the generator and the battery system, correct?
It includes the generator.
Okay.
What is not included is all the electrical part. That means battery, because we want the customer to purchase the battery locally. It's too expensive to ship them. And right. We do not include inverters and regulator. Because a lot of people, for example, in the U.S. have already equipped, if you have a PV panel and you already have, storing batteries and inverter, you don't need to purchase to duplicate. You can directly use what you have. So that's why we give the option.
I had a friend who wanted to purchase one of these, and the $200 package that you just described, and the shipping was going to cost over $300 from Hong Kong.
Yes. It's a big problem we have now. The problem, in fact, would be easily solved once we have set our distributorship system. If we ship one set by, let's say, UPS, it can cost $250 or $300. If we ship by full container, it costs only $10. So it's just a matter of organization.
If you could get a distributor in the United States to put these in inventory and distribute from within the United States, then the cost could come down a lot on the shipping.
Yes. But in fact, we want to be even further than that. I'm preparing now a lot of joint venture. What I want is to manufacture as close as possible to the end user. And if it works as planned, we most probably will have within the next 2 years, 3 or 4 factories in the U.S.
Well, yeah, the size of turbine that you have there is something that most machine shops could put in their injection molding machine, no problem, just punch in the code and off it goes.
Yeah.
I've got a good friend who's got a machine shop, and that would just, he could do that in his sleep.
Yes, exactly. So this is a very low tech. It's very, very low tech. So we have no problem delocalizing manufacturing anywhere in the world. I designed it in this way. What I wanted, for example, to be able to supply Africa, we must be able to have a very fast manufacturing process, very easy one. So even in the most remote places in Africa or in India or wherever, you name it, we can manufacture within a few weeks. We just need to bring a set of molds, organize the metalwork system, and that's it. It's very simple, very, very simple.
How hard was it to engineer your molds?
Oh, this is just a normal process. You know, I've been in manufacturing for over 20 years. It was not challenging at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems very simple. I mean, $200 for 20 turbines, I mean, $10 each, that's a pretty reasonable price. I mean, that's what we're buying, paying for bicycle tires, and yet this thing can be generating electricity. Let's talk for a second about, we didn't finish our earlier question about that 20 rotor system, how much power is it putting out? And it, of course, depends on wind speed, and we said that the wind speed you're targeting is 2 to 7 meters per second.
Yes.
What How much are we putting out energy-wise for those speeds, 2 meters, 7 meters per second?
Okay, if we take the unit we're always talking about is 1 square meter, that means 20 turbines. So if we take this unit for 5 meters per second wind speed, we have about 15 watts, 15 to 17 watts per square meter. If we have 6 meters per second, then we go to 27, 30 watts. If we have, let's say, 8 meters per second, then we go to 64, 65 watts. And to continue, for example, 10 meters per second, we got to 125, 130 watts. You know, the wind energy is the cube of the wind speed. Huh? So it's every time you double the wind speed, you multiply the power by eight times, eightfold.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why the skeptic would say, well, that's why we put these things way up in the air, so you get that high wind speed, and you're getting a cube of the wind speed of what you would be getting on the ground. And so it, they would say it's not practical, but you specifically targeted the low profile of an urban situation where you can't put a tower up. It's against zoning regulations, where people can be generating something off the wind that they're getting, whether it's 2 to 7 meters per second, which is about what you're going to get near the ground, and they can economically harvest that. I mean, $200 is not going to break anyone.
Yes, but because they have the people are saying that is because they have a big major problem is their manufacturing cost. The only way they can have their machine, let's say, a payback in within 15 years, is to have that kind of wind speed. It's only due because of their manufacturing cost. And why they have such high manufacturing cost is because they make such a beautiful machine, high tech, that are not so efficient. They work only 30% of the time. So no matter what they do, they will. That's why today they are trying to make this machine even bigger. They are trying to produce per wind generator up to 5 megawatts. This is what they are in design, because it's the only way they can amortize a machine. I don't have this problem. Today I'm selling
a... there's a story. There's a manufacturer in Germany of the largest wind turbines, and they now have a... I think it's either 6.5 or 7.5 megawatt turbine that will power 4,000 homes.
Yes.
Massive thing. And, yeah, huge capital outlay. If one turbine goes down, that's 4,000 homes out of power.
Yeah.
In your system, what kind of return on investment are we talking about?
Oh, it's between 3 to 5 years, 6 years. It depends on the wind speed you have and the... and the location, I mean, different aspect, but we are talking about very, very low payback time. And you know the best of it, today we are selling for $200, $250 per unit, but the target, it would be $100 per unit. You just give me some time, because I didn't finish all the manufacturing, to input the right manufacturing system. Once I know exactly my cost, then I will be able to cut it. My target is, you know, I'm obsessed by one thing as a manufacturer. I'm obsessed by one thing is the cost. Everything I do is in order to cut cost. I want to cut shipping costs and shipping time, so I delocalize manufacturing. I want to cut the selling price, so I will use maybe different material or different kind of or different organization. But today, we're already the cheapest in terms of kilowatt hour. I want to go even lower than that. You know, my target now, not really the customers in the U.S. Or in Europe. It's not exactly that. What I'm targeting is a very low-income places, countries, remote villages, where they do not have any access to a grid. There's millions and millions and millions of villages. They don't know what is power. Mm-hmm. And this problem, and these people, they have a, you know, it breaks my heart sometimes, because these people, they have a, you know, they die from it. Imagine you have your kid who is sick, and you can't call a doctor because you don't have a telephone, you don't have electricity. So what do? You carry your kid to the hospital, and sometimes it's 2-3 days away. By the time you arrive in the hospital, you have a big chance that your kid is, unfortunately, something wrong happened to him. So what I want is to bring power to these people. I will leave the big wind generator for a big city, well organized. I have no problem with that. But I want to take care of the one who really need it.
Well, it looks like the framework for this thing is something that just about any welder could handle, no problem.
Yes.
And the assembly looks very straightforward as well. Just about any mechanically inclined person could do it, no problem. So
yes.
It's not a complex system. But what would you consider to be the most difficult part of the system?
Oh, the only difficult part is if you don't have a mold, injection mold, you can do it. You cannot duplicate the turbines. They have this special shape only because they can be injected. If you want to realize exactly the same shape using other techniques, you can't.
How much time did you spend on the shape of the turbine?
Oh, it was pretty fast. The major issue on the design was the mold feasibility. You know, a mold is made of two parts, and then you need to open it in order to extract the injected part. And that's the only difficulty we have in molding. You cannot realize shapes that cannot be extruded from the mold. So we base all the design aspect on the feasibility of injecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some way we work in very different way than most of the developers or engineers or whatever. From the beginning, my point was to be able to mass produce. If I want to mass produce, the only way that it can be done in a very economical way is plastic injection. So what kind of size can I mass produce easily at a very low cost? That's why we have 25 cm, 10 inches, because this is the most common mold size you can find and the cheapest. And then based on that, how can I have, because if, for example, I want to put one generator for each turbine, this would be an economical nonsense. A generator costs 20 to 30 times more than one turbine. So there is no way we can do that. So the only way was to have only one generator for a certain quantity of turbines. That's why I link them together. That's the logic behind or beyond all this.
Very good. I mean, the injection molding a plastic turbine is so much easier. I mean, many fold, even orders of magnitude easier and cheaper time-wise, cost-wise, than these really fancy mega turbines that they have. The one I was just mentioning is Enercon in Germany. It's a 6-megawatt system, just to give you the details on that. I just looked it up. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, they have to be able to turn those blades. If it's blowing really hard, they have to stop the turbines. There's a lot of things that they have to engineer. It's an engineering, it's a very, very complex system. And yours is about as easy as you can get engineering-wise.
Yes, yes. It must be like this because I want the people to be able to maintain it. You know, as a company, imagine that I ship a set to whatever remote village in India. Imagine that, I don't know, after 5, 6, 7 years, they call me, they say something wrong with my machine. I'm not going to send a technician there. I mean, from Hong Kong. And so the only way was to give them a system that is basically maintenance-free, meaning that anybody can fix it. We are using only standard parts. Any parts except the turbine can be purchased from any electrical shops. And so we are not trying to make money on the maintenance or that kind of thing. It's not at all. We want this as user friendly as possible.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, I would think that a 6-year-old could comprehend how this thing works, and you know, might need to be 10 or 12 years old in order to have the mechanical skills to actually maintain it. But we're not talking about, you know, a high school even education, or certainly not a college education required to be able to understand and maintain this thing.
Yes, yes. You know, the amazing part is most of the schools in Hong Kong, they have been applying to install a system in their roof, and they do not intend really to use it for power generation. They want to use it as an educational tool. They want to teach the kids what is wind energy. Yeah, amazingly, because at the beginning I was doing it in a proper way, checking how much power do they need and what would be the final application, whatever. And pretty fast I discover they just want it as an educational tool. They even don't care how much power it produces.
Yeah. So, Hunter, back to our earlier question about how much power this thing is putting out, you're saying at 10 meters per second, which is pretty good wind, is 125 watts, and you think of a 100-watt light bulb of all the appliances in a Western house, that's just not going to go very far. But in a underdeveloped situation, as you're saying, like in Africa or other places where they don't have any power, 125 watts is going to be a lot of power.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, with 100 watts, you can power 5 tubes, you know, the fluorescent lights. Mm-hmm. Five of them, you can basically, in a very small village, you power the whole village. You put in a different part of the street, of the main street, you power the whole village. We have to stop thinking in terms of, Western, we never... I'm 50 years old. I was born after the war. I never experienced not to have power. I was born with power. I know what is power, and for me, it's something that is granted. But for so many people, it's not. It's not, and we forget these people. Mm-hmm. We today we are comparing cost kilowatt hour between a different kind of renewable energy system. We are comparing with fossil fuel, whatever. For the people who are in need, it's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with that. They just need it.
Yeah.
They just need it.
You know, are you familiar with the project to provide laptop computers?
Yes, the $100, yes.
Yes. You ought to get hooked up with them.
In one point I'm involved on that.
How's that?
The manufacturer I work with the biggest battery manufacturer here in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. and he's the one supplying part of the system. And we had a meeting yesterday. He was asking me how to improve the efficiency of recharging the batteries. Hello. Yep.
I guess I just didn't see where that was going. Now on the when we start talking about batteries and generators and inverters, there's where we get some complexity for these people. The turbine end of it is very simple, but the electricity coming out of it and generating that electricity is going to be up into your high school, college level of understanding required. To be able to not shock themselves or get electrocuted in the process of maintaining these things. What kind of you were featured recently at CNN. I imagine that increased sales quite a bit. What kind of how well are you moving these things right now?
We are targeting the first year to generate about $25 million turnover. Based on just the actual figure we have, because we have three systems. One, we have an online store. People can buy through PayPal, you know, the eBay system. And we are getting order from all over the planet. I have an example, funny. There's a guy from Alaska, and he said, I want to get your system. And I told him, I said, look, we don't have experience about the sub-zero freezing temperature. We don't know what's going to happen. We've never been able to test under that kind of conditions. In Hong Kong, obviously, we don't have. And the guy said, don't worry, I will test for you. And I will send you the data, and I will monitor for you. That's the kind of friends, I would call them like this, that we have all over the world. We are initiating a joint venture, as many as we can. I'm talking now with at least five possibilities in India, in Canada, in the U.S., in Mexico, in Ecuador, in Colombia, in New Zealand, Australia, Spain, Italy, I mean, you name it, you name them. Everybody wants to be a distributor. It's just a matter of time. You know, we started this project, I released this technology 6 weeks ago only. And within these 6 weeks, yes, it was. I gave a press conference on March 15. Uh-huh. And on March 16, the website went to the roof. We have something like 10,000 visits, and since then we had to create a multinational corporation starting from zero. Mm-hmm. I mean zero. We had nothing, mm-hmm. And that's why things are going so fast that we are submerged. I'm hiring people every day. We started from zero. I hope by within 1 year we will be. About 200 or 300 here in Hong Kong, it would be something like 2,000 all over the world.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I even don't know how to explain it. So some people, they try to compare this with the internet bubble. Mm-hmm. But they just one thing is that at that time the internet stuff they were putting, it was just virtual. They didn't need to ship anything there was nothing physical. Mm-hmm. Here is different. Here we're talking about manufacturing. When we get order, we need to manufacture something and then we need to ship it out. It's totally different.
The thing that makes it feasible though is that it's very easy to ramp up. Because it's not like you have to build a $2 million manufacturing plant. You just take an existing machine shop, send them the molds, and off they go with their injection molding machine.
Yes.
There's a standard equipment that is going to be cross-compatible for the most part, from what I understand. And so it'll be very easy to ramp up and meet your demand.
Yeah. In fact, that's why I'm multiplying the manufacturing plant is in order to increase the capacity. Because I have checked with what we have in Hong Kong, I can barely supply the demand just right here in Hong Kong. And the market, I mean, is so big. There's no other way. I can even if I wanted to, I could not manufacture everything here in China because it would take so many containers just to ship out everywhere in the world that we will block the whole system.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your other systems for a minute before we wrap up here. Let's talk about this motor wave technology for harnessing wind or wave motion on the water. How does
sure.
that work?
Sure. Just one thing, if you give me one more second. Concerning the philosophy, if you take, let's say, you take 1 kilo of oil and then you burn it like they do in a power plant, and you burn 1 kilo of oil, you produce 4.5 kilowatt hour of electricity. But if this kilo of oil you transform into plastic, you can make one turbine, just one turbine with 1 kilo of oil. Mm-hmm. If you make this turbine, you put this turbine to work, within 1 month, it will have produced exactly the same amount of electricity mm-hmm. instead of burning it. You see the difference?
Yeah.
And the this turbine, they have a lifetime expected of between 3 to 5 years. That means between 3 to 5 years, you will generate maybe 100 or even more times more electricity than by burning the kilo of oil. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, this turbine, they can be recycled. This is plastic. Mm-hmm. We can recycle them for hundreds of years. So just make the calculation. With the same kilo of oil, instead of burning it, we are going to use it for hundreds of years. And we are going to generate 1,000 times more electricity than if we had burned it. And we never release 1 gram of CO2.
There's an oil executive who's on record as having made the statement to the effect that burning oil for heat is like burning oil for fuel is like burning a Picasso for heat.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad that for once somebody understands that. I mean, from the oil industry.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to your question about motorways. Okay. So what happened is I was working on some machine powered by waves, and all of a sudden I really realized what kind of energy we can get from it. So I started to develop the system, and I started to testing it, and then once again I went through my friend in the university, and we did all the a big part of the development. Unfortunately, we got. I applied for money from the government, the Hong Kong government, and they didn't want to help me finance the system. So now the system is on hold, and in some way that is why I had developed the motor wind, because with motor wind this is a fast selling system. So in fact I want to generate enough cash in order to go back to my research on the motor wave, because motor wave, this is a lot of energy, a lot. Each machine, we're talking about a megawatt per machine.
Mm-hmm.
A megawatt. And each machine to build, it costs about $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you compare this with a wind generator, now we're talking about $1 million per megawatt. For wave, 150,000 for a megawatt. You see the difference?
I was pulling up to see what time it was. What would be the cents per kilowatt equivalent for each of those?
I'm sorry, what would be the?
What would be the cents per kilowatt hour?
The cost?
Equivalent?
Are you mean the cost?
Yeah.
It was... if I remember, $0.0015 US dollar per kilowatt hour.
So we're talking 0.15 cents per kilowatt hour for the motor wave or for the...
For the motor wave, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unseen.
Yeah.
It's unseen. That's why... Because to have low cost power can have many applications, and one of them, people have been talking about hydrogen technology for quite some time now,
mm-hmm.
and it can be done on a realistic way, because today the only way to extract at normal cost is by using hydrocarbon. You know, we break methane, CH4, we break it in order to produce hydrogen. Mm-hmm. So that means we are not helping at all the environment, because when we produce hydrogen, in some way we are producing CO2. So, it's a nonsense, huh? Environmental nonsense. But by having very, very low-cost electricity, then we can produce hydrogen by hydrolysis and significant amounts, huh? Because we have, you know, 4/5 of the planet is water, is sea. Mm-hmm. And most of the sea is international water. That means anybody can go. We don't need to apply for anything. We don't need permission. We just go wherever we want and we install our machines. So we can, we have imagined that kind of model. For example, American, there's a lot of American island like in Guam, Hawaii, Samoa. So what we want to do is to install this machine there in this island, generate hydrogen, and then ship it back, I mean ship it to the U.S., like in California, where the hydrogen will be burned in power plants instead of burning fossil fuel. Mm-hmm. So we can generate a complete economy. The islands, they will be very happy because today they're only exporting coconuts and tuna fish. We can develop industry for them.
Yeah, I should mention that the price you gave for the motor wave energy generation of $0.0015 per kilowatt hour is about 15 to 20 times cheaper than the cheapest conventional energy generation right now. It's coal, oil,
yep.
Gas, nuclear.
Yes.
So you're way down there in the cost. Now, of course, that's theoretical at this point. You know, by the time you actually build it and find, you know, jump through all the hoops and realize.
Well, it's more than theoretical. We have built prototypes and model, and we have tested them. What we never did is to build a farm with thousands of these machines. But at the individual level, we already built prototypes.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, let's talk about the gym scenario where you generate electricity by these people exercising on these machines.
Yes. This is a. It was an amazing story. He does not produce much power.
Uh-huh.
He was not really for the power. He was not a power issue. It was more. We wanted the people to realize that they can do that. Anybody can do something about the environment at their own level. So one day somebody was asking me if I could transform an exerciser, and I say yes, it's no problem. But it's an economical nonsense. Just to put a generator, the cost of putting a generator will even not cover the energy you're going to produce. So it's really a nonsense because you use this machine, let's say an hour a day, that's it. And I was talking to one of my partner, and he say, well, it's true, it doesn't make sense. But at the level of a gym, this is different because each machine they are being used 10, 12, 14 hours a day. And then he start to make economical sense. And then I say, okay, no problem. And he's a good friend of some manager of California Fitness. So we organized this together. And we have been testing now for 6 months or 7 months. We have been testing the system in one gym, and it works perfectly. I mean, everybody seems happy. You know, now they even don't say I go to work out. They say I go to produce electricity. I love this.
What's your next project, the playground?
My next project is still on the hydrogen economy. I have designed an engine that it works with hydrogen and can be used for a cargo ship. Because what I have in mind is a complete cycle. I want, once we produce hydrogen in this small island, I want the cargo transporting the hydrogen using the same hydrogen that we produce. I want the complete cycle.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this an engine or?
It's a revolutionary machine. As usual, it's so simple that the people, they will always wonder, why didn't I think about this?
Mm.
You know, I always consider that to make difficult, to make complicated, it's easy.
So it's hard to make simple, huh?
Yes, yes.
Your website, one of them at least, is motorwavegroup.com. Do you have one specifically for the wind turbine, or are all your technologies on that one website?
It's within the motorwavegroup.com. motorwavegroup.com/new/motorwind.
We have you covered at our PESWiki, PESWiki.com website, with different links to some of your pages and whatnot.
When I saw that, you know, I was so happy. I'm number 33 on your list, and I'm between cold fusion and a giant wind generator with my tiny machines. You know, I was so proud.
Well, I think you deserve to be a little higher up on our top 100 energy technologies listing. The thing I really like about this is the way it makes energy accessible to the small guy, the person who can't afford energy otherwise. It's not really feasible for, I don't see New York City installing these. They're not necessarily pretty, but out in the rural villages and whatnot, they're not nearly so worried about pretty as they are about, you know, just get something. And do you have any plans to dress it up at all?
In fact, I mean, to address this issue, I've been working on that. The solution is pretty simple. We put in front a grill. Mm-hmm. That means they cannot be seen anymore.
Okay.
So it's a... once again, there's no need to look for a very complicated solution. A simple one can do. We just put a plastic grill. I check in terms of cost. I mean, it will be the same. It will be insignificant in terms of cost, and then you won't see at all. But you know, one of the features we have with Motorwind is advertising. Okay, if you take a big array of turbines, let's say 2,000 turbines, so imagine it's like a big array. And then when you look at your computer screen, each dot on your computer screen is a pixel. So now if you consider that these 2,000 turbines, each of the turbines is a pixel, then you just change the color because they are made of inject plastic. So I can inject in different kind of colors.
Right.
That means with my 2,000 turbine, it become basically a screen.
Mm-hmm.
I can write whatever I want.
Right.
So we have designed advertising panel that produce electricity.
Okay.
and very soon you will see some of them. I don't know if the big advertising company are listening, but I advise them to contact me because it's going to be hot. If they want to be associated with green energy, this is the solution. When you will see a nice Coca-Cola or anything else, sorry, maybe I'm on radio, I cannot talk about advertising, but it will be something very big.
Fascinating. Well, it's been fun talking to you. We are at the end of our time here. We've been speaking with Lucien Gambarota. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, correct. Very correct.
And you are an entrepreneur and an inventor of fascinating things, wind turbine, wave generator, exercise equipment to turn into electricity, at very simple methods to make electricity available to the small places where they can't afford electricity. Your website is motorwavegroup.com. Sterling Allen, your host. We've come to you each week on this Free Energy Now program. You can join us every day at freeenergynews.com. Thanks for joining us, Lucien.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Alan. Bye.
All right. Good luck to you. Bye.
Thanks.